Hey, welcome to Texas!
He's a 10.
I choose this family.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 115 of 911 Lone Star Roundup. I'm one of your hosts, EJ, and with me are my lovely co-hosts, Katie and Grace.
Hi guys.
Hi guys.
Today we'll be talking about 911 Season 7, Episode 7, Ghosts of a Second Chance. There is so much to talk about, so we're just going to jump right in, and you're going to be getting Grace and I's live reactions because we literally just watched the episode before we recorded, because our weekend got away from us.
Yeah. Yeah. We're still processing here.
Yeah, so you're going to get some processing, which is going to be interesting because we're going to try to not make it too long for you. So we start with this 911 call. This woman is calling asking if it's a hotel, and Maddie is like, no, this is 911. Maddie gets the call, and she tells the woman, she's like, I'm guessing you can't speak freely. It's kind of giving the vibe of the pizza call from Lone Star and some other calls we've had in other shows. Mm-hmm. So Maddie starts asking her some questions, like yes or no, or questions that she can respond to in a certain way to say yes or no to something. And then Josh is wanting to kind of take over the call because he knows it's going to be very triggering for her, but she refuses to let him do that.
We love Josh. Yeah. He just stands by, hangs out in support. Right.
I know. Yeah. I love that. Like, I love like him being like, you know, like I can do this for you, and like her just like being like, no. And like, he is still like stood by, which was like, great. And I mean, like, that's just like a great supervisor who will like obviously like be there for their people, which we love seeing him like in this role.
Yeah.
And throughout this, she's meeting the call and passing on messages to LAPD as if she thinks it's an abduction of a woman. And then she hears a baby in the car. And there's also the guy driving is also saying things. So she's hearing a lot. And so then she passes on that there's a baby in the car. And so she's trying to continue to talk to this woman. But she slowly gets her name from her. And so she's able to relay that so Josh can look up the information from the woman. And then there's a car crash. So,
after she knew that, like after the guy had grabbed the phone and he knew that she was on with him.
And it was kind of eerie because there was that dead silence for a few moments.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Before
and she's like, are you there? She didn't respond. She's like, I think she's done enough talking. And I'm like, oh boy, this is not going well. So 118 is called. There's a car fire. There's a huge explosion, and they go in to try and rescue him. And they find the woman. The car is upside down. She's there. She's being badly burned from the explosion, but they realize she's the only one in the car. There's no baby. The driver's gone. And so Athena shows up and tries to get, you know, an officer to start looking for the baby because they're like, did they get ejected from the car during the crash or something? And
which again made me think Lone Star.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of forgot about that till now, but yeah, it does.
Way back at the pilot.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 When she mentioned that, I was like, oh, yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they're like, and Bobby was like, you know, we've been around this whole area, like we haven't seen anything. And then they get that kind of like vibe where maybe the guy took off with the baby and where else would he be? And then you kind of see the like panoramic view of like Los Angeles skyline and you're like, oh crap, he's somewhere in the city.
Yeah, that's a big city to search.
Yeah. Right.
So then we go to Hen and Karen with the kids. They're getting ready to have dinner. Mara isn't joining them because she's sound asleep. And Karen just didn't have the heart to wake her up. They're kind of talking about Mara between Hen and Karen, and Denny's sitting there. And then, you know, they were sharing that she's not opening up a ton yet to Karen and Hen. But apparently she's opened up a little to Denny. She shares that Mara had a little brother, and Hen and Karen are like, had no clue, which is, you know, kind of shocking because usually when the kids are in the system like that, they usually know or are told. Foster parents are usually told, oh yeah, they have another sibling at this place or what the situation is.
Yeah. I mean,
that was not the case.
Not all the time, because some information is like privileged.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like how we later find out about this. And of course, kids are split up into the system all the time.
Yeah.
So it's a messy, it's already like immediately a messy situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just at something last night, and they were doing like trying to get people to raise money for adoption. And there's like 400,000 kids in the foster system in the United States right now. That's a scary number. So before we get any more of that scene, we go on to Eddie Marisol and Chris, and they're having ice cream and they're doing two truths and a lie.
Okay,
Was I the only
can
one
I
who found
just.
this scene so awkward?
Okay, this was awkward, but like, can we just like one of her things in True Truth and Lie was that she's never had s'mores, and I'm thinking, okay, if this is actually like true, you're literally a psychopath, because like, who the hell does not eat a s'more as a kid? I can understand maybe not having one as a kid because you don't like the texture, but like as an adult, you would think that maybe you would get over that and try it. And it's like, no, that's true. And I'm like, okay, there is something wrong with her.
Right.
I will say the way I grew up with a lot of like my family had a lot of dietary restrictions and followed a lot of stuff. I have never had a classic s'more. I've had ingredients that go into a s'more, half combined. So I've like had half s'mores. Like we never had the graham crackers. I don't like graham crackers. I don't really
That's
care. But
understandable.
I've never had like the classic s'more experience kind of deal. So like I don't know if it's something like that, but I don't know. I feel like that is a little bit more of a specific case, but.
Yeah, it's just a very weird thing to think about if you think about it, especially if you live like in the US, because that is a very American experience.
It really is.
So it's just funny. I'm like, okay, there is
Right.
definitely something wrong with her.
Yeah, and when Eddie finds out, he's like, I don't know, maybe he's like, we should take off or something like that, or shouldn't stick around or something like that. And
He's like, maybe we should leave her to
I
Chris.
was
Oh
like,
yeah,
that was funny. Like any scenes with them is just weird. And
yeah. And then she's like, you're never getting rid of me, and I'm like, oh, don't say that.
we're
Don't say
getting rid of
that.
you if we have to or not.
Right. So then after this scene, they're still together and they're walking through some shop or past some shops, and Eddie kind of glances in one of these women's boutiques and he sees a woman that looks just like Shannon.
Okay, see, people are like, see, he thinks that she l looks just like her, but literally, there's like no resemblance. And this is like, what the hell?
No, I actually did see the result. And of course, this is the same actress. So
Yeah,
it's still
Devon
Devon.
did come back. Yeah.
So I
She.
do see the result. It's the hair that's the difference. Because without the
Yeah.
bangs, without the brunette, she's a blonde. Her hair is going back. She has a white streak in it, kind of deal. That makes a big difference. And obviously, we've never seen Shannon with like a lot of makeup on. Kim was wearing a lot of
Yeah,
makeup.
she just
But I
looks
do think she looked a
complexion
lot
wise,
like
she just
Shannon.
looks tanner. Her hair also. The only thing that I really get from that is like her voice. That's literally the only thing I see a resemblance in.
I
Honestly,
saw more than that, but
if we had not known she was coming back, I wouldn't have noticed like right away.
right. It would have been bugging
Right.
me because she would have looked so familiar, but I don't know that I immediately would have said Shanna because
Yeah.
we, again, it's the hair for me. The main thing is that was different was that the hair.
Yeah. And at this moment, she doesn't say anything to him. She kind of
Right.
sees him out of the corner of her eye, kind of like looking at her, but doesn't really like. And then she goes back into the shop and does something. And then, Chris is yelling for his dad, because they obviously realized he hadn't followed them. So,
And
yeah, it
Eddie's
was
just
just.
kind of standing there in shock.
Yeah. Like,
Yeah.
because I think he just didn't realize what he was looking at. And, obviously the whole episode is called, Ghosts of a Second Chance, like they're having these moments. And I,
I think he thought he saw a ghost.
yeah,
Yeah, understandable.
which, and I
Yeah.
know that there's been comments, and I think Ryan has said like he loves working with Devon. So I know that they were trying to get her back in some capacity. So this is kind of cool that they're bringing him in as a, her in as a different character.
And also later on in the episode, we get a flashback that we never got in the original episodes.
Yeah.
So she also came back technically as Shannon too, which I think is I don't we have so much to talk about this storyline, but I
That's
find it
right.
very interesting how they're going. And well, no matter how you feel about Shannon or even Kim or anything like that, there is still they're like just the actors' chemistry, like the way they work with each other. Is pretty great. Like
Yeah.
they really do act well with each other. But yeah,
Yeah.
that's certainly a start to the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
it is
then
something.
we get Hen finding Mara sitting on her bed, and she's talking to her about sleeping, and Hen's sharing a little bit about her when she was a child and how sometimes she'd pretend, even though her mom was like banging pots and pans to wake her up, like she would pretend she was asleep so her mom didn't
Oh,
like
I've done that
wake
so
her.
many times.
I think it's a classic experience.
It's just like I've done that so much. Like, it's like, no, I do not want to get up, or I just don't want to talk to anybody right now. So I'm just gonna pretend like I'm actually sleeping. I've done that where, like, I was sitting on the couch with like one of the dogs at the time, and I just pretend to be sleeping.
Yeah. And so Hen kind of broaches the topic about having a sibling, and it kind of piques Mara's interest. And so she shares a little bit about how she misses Tyson. And so Hen takes the opportunity to ask her about Tyson. And then Mara says they took him. And we kind of don't know who they is yet.
I feel
So,
like enough is implied
yeah.
to know.
Like Mara doesn't say, oh, it was CPS or social services or anything like that, but she like, yeah, it's and we do get the kind of res immediate resolution like answer to that in the next scene.
So then we get Athena's walking into the call center with Rick, who is working Catherine's case, which I still, even to this day, like, I think of the Fosters whenever I see him.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
I never saw the Fosters, but I am was like, because I like him. He's played
And
a cop in a lot of the shows he's been
yeah,
in, is
he
my
just looks
thing.
like a cop.
he
He
does
just
got that
looks like
vibe.
a cop.
So Maddie walks to them. She they're talking about this the case and the call, and Maddie asks if they found her husband, and Rick says that they did, but he's been working on an oil rig in Alaska for 3 months, so it's going to be a little while before he can get there. And so they're starting to think this guy might have been her boyfriend, but they can't ask her because she's in a medically induced coma because of her burns and injuries. So they want to hear the call. So they're in like a you know, office room there at the call center and on a laptop listening to the call. And about a few words in, Maddie has to leave the room because she hears something on there that she didn't hear initially. And she, you know, Josh follows her to check in on her because obviously he knows her past and what happened. So Maddie tells Josh that she should have let him take over the call. And Josh is like, no, you handled that like perfectly. And Maddie's like, yeah, but she heard what she expected to hear because she remembered being in that situation. And so she was thinking like she was letting what the guy was saying and doing control what Maddie was hearing and not really necessarily hearing actually what was going on. So Maddie thought it was the husband because he heard the guy say wife, but that's not the case. And Josh just reminds her that she worked with the information that she had. And then she's like, yeah, but she listened to him and she wonders if she had missed some. What else did she miss? So starting to plague her, which I don't blame her. Like I would be questioning everything.
Yeah, and you can only really like go with what information you're getting. Like,
Yeah, like the
shouldn't.
reasonable assumption was that
Yeah,
it was the
exactly.
husband. Like,
Right.
yes, the woman didn't tell her that, but the man said so, and the woman never said anything to contradict it.
Right.
She just also never really said anything to confirm it. So it was like, again, working with the information.
Yeah. So then we get Han and Karen meeting with Deidre, their social worker for Mara. They're asking about Mara's brother, and apparently Mara's mom had an affair, and the dad didn't know about him until after Mara's mom died. So they wanted Mara to be. So from what I'm getting is Mara's mom had Tyson as an affair with this guy who was married to somebody else, and then when they found out, he got to keep Tyson. And it's not really like the caseworker had to, you know, obviously keep, you know, follow him because he technically does have a biological parent still alive. So because they try to keep families and kids siblings together if possible, but that's not always the case in this situation. And even though she can't share the information with them, she just gives them this name of a group or a meeting place that she often sends new parents to. And it's her kind of hint that this might be where you could find them. And then she leaves because obviously she can't, she's limited by how much she can share. But she's like, you didn't get this from me kind of information. So then we get Maddie at the hospital. She's checking on Catherine and she's kind of standing outside her room when the nurse comes by, and the nurse asks if Maddie's family, and she just is really silent. And then he's like, so the window to tell me that your family just closed. So he obviously knows
or to
she's
come up with a lie, I think is
right.
what it was.
Yeah, that was
Yeah,
and this is
that was
obviously
it.
the very first introduction to Malcolm Jamal Warner's character. And she explains, Maddie explains to him that she's a 911 dispatcher and she had taken the call. And he's like, oh, are so you here for a follow-up? And Maddie says that she came to check in because she feels responsible that they didn't get there sooner. And he's just saying, you know, the only person responsible is the driver. Like, he's so right.
Very true.
So Maddie's talking to him briefly and he takes his mask off and she shares, a little bit more, and you see the burn scars on his face.
Yeah, because before we, well, not even that, but like when she was talking to him, he was kind of faced sort of away from her so she couldn't see. And then, like, as the audience, like, obviously, we kind of had some background of like his character before he actually came in. But then we see his face, and like everyone's like, oh my God, like they did such a good job, like making like obviously like the prosthetics for his burn look so realistic, which is true.
And it's all on one side of his face, like it's all up and down one side of his face. And he's also wearing like I believe the kind of gloves he's wearing like also indicate that he was burned on his arms, or at least that's the vibe we're getting from that. So
Yeah, because I know there's some like it's not prosthetics, but it's definitely like a sleeve to help protect your burn scars. And so he's wearing regular gloves, but then on like yeah, and he's got his sleeves down and stuff. So yeah, you can definitely tell. I think he's got more burns on his body than just his face. And from news, we all know that he is somebody from Bobby's past. And we will learn more about him in the next few episodes. And I was, I don't know. This scene was really tough because, obviously Maddie's really not there in any capacity other than just curiosity. Because, they're talking about the conversation. Obviously, they know that it's not a relationship or that that's not love. And, she's wanting to know kind of what her prog his pro his guess for her prognosis would be. And he's like, she'll survive that, survive the physical injuries, but time will heal the rest. And he's hinting at things, obviously, because I'm like, we know what this storyline is coming to with Bobby and this guy. So, yeah, so it's like foreshadowing some of that.
And there was like a lot of like I guess like people had a lot of thoughts of like what his character would be just because we didn't really have much information besides the fact it was somebody from Bobby's past so that could have meant he worked at the hospital in Minnesota or like obviously what we're clearly pointing at that he was in that fire and stuff, but we didn't know that until obviously we saw this episode. We were like, oh, okay, that explains somewhat of that story.
Yeah, because the only released stills of it were his face was turned, so we didn't see the scars.
Right, it wasn't until the episode aired that that was kind of put out there.
And he even makes a note that, Maddie makes a comment that, he speaks from experience, and she's like, sounds like you do too. And she explains how she almost her husband almost killed her, and she's not sure why she just shared that. And he's like, he t has a tendency to trigger honesty in people, which I'm like, I can understand that. And she's like, I'm mostly triggered by the scrubs because she was a nurse when
Yeah, I
the
liked
Doug stuff was going
that.
on. And so she introduces herself, and his name is Amir. And he asks about her switching from nursing to dispatching. And Maddie goes, she gets to go in to see Catherine because he has to go do something. And so Maddie's kind of in the room apologizing to her and promising that they're going to figure this out, telling her that it's not her fault. She's in a drug-induced coma, so it's not like she can hear her per se, but she probably can in some way. I feel for Maddie, I do, because Maddie has gone through that. And especially, it's raw for us because we just got like the Doug flashbacks, yes, like last episode with Chim and all that. So it's like kind of fresh for us. And then we've obviously just watched some of the Begins episodes, and kind of been talking a little bit about season two, so it's fresh in our minds. But for her, it's kind of not in the same way because it didn't necessarily happen to her. So yeah,
And also, I do think that in a way, she's sort of getting a little bit of a do-over because this is not the first time we have seen her come across a call with a possible abuse situation.
That's true.
But last time, she did not handle it in the correct or healthy way or the professional
That's
way.
right.
So I feel like she have now more removed from it, now having gone through a lot more therapy and everything, she's kind of getting a do-over. Because the ultimate result of that one was obviously we find out different things about this one, but it's still looking like some sort of domestic situation. And the end result of that previous one was the woman ultimately stayed with her abusive husband.
Which t
So,
unfortunately happens more times than often.
yes. So I think Maddie's gained a lot of different chances here. Even if she's like not as directly involved, like it, as inserting herself as she had before, but she still cares.
So then we get Eddie returning to that store where he saw what he thinks is maybe a Shannon lookalike, and it's weird. Like, yeah, he's dating Marisol, and then he actually, like, she comes in and she's like kind of coaxing him in and talking to him, and he actually goes into the store with her, this woman Kim, and she's like, "So are you getting this for your girlfriend?" He's like, "No, it's just me and my son Christopher." Excuse me, what?
That was so weird. Like this whole
Oh.
thing felt so infatuated, and I get it. I get what they're trying to portray, but I'm also like, I don't understand it. And also like this, it's just so weird. Like he, I don't know. It's just so like odd, and I'm just like, what is happening? Like, what are we watching, and why are we watching this?
And I
It's weird
feel
because the
go ahead.
what were you saying? It's weird because like as I'm watching it, like obviously this is happening in real time. This is like he made the decision to return. I think he made the decision to return because he was kind of like haunted by having seen basically a ghost, as you know the name implies. I
And
don't
he's
think he had
curious.
an aim coming back there. I don't know that he had an aim coming back there. I don't know that he necessarily was trying to talk to her. I don't think he had a goal. I don't think he had a set frame in mind. He was just haunted. So I feel like he's almost, in a way, kind of just trapped in a dream for him. And he's not thinking clearly. And of course, that's not excusing a single thing. I don't even care if I don't even care that I don't like Marisol or I hate the actress who plays her. I don't care about any of that. Like, none of it's right. But I don't, in a weird way, yes, he's making active decisions. But at least in this instance, I'm like, how? I don't think in this scene necessarily, he's actually like fully cognizant of that.
I personally feel like he went back because he wanted to see if what he saw was real. As in, did I really see somebody that looked like her, or did I just want to see somebody like look like her?
Yeah, which that part of
Yeah,
it
I think
is
so.
understandable. But then the voluntarily sharing only that he's him and his son. It's
Which
like, okay.
that was the only real, like, that's where he messed up here. Nothing else, everything else was kind of innocuous, like he could have gotten away with it. That one is actively just lying. And it's like, okay, that's not good intentions. You don't lie like that if you have good intentions.
A part of me is like, you don't have to volunteer information to a stranger, but it's also weird that you're like, oh no, it's just me and my son. Because like that
But
also gives off the wrong perspective because it's like, oh, like where's this gonna go with her?
and she immediately turned more flirty because she was clearly testing the waters. And Eddie may sometimes be a dumbass, but I don't think he's that much of a dumbass. He knew. So it's already turning a little bit messy.
So before we get any more of that, we go back to Hen and Karen. They're showing up at this mommy and me play class thing with the kids, and they meet Tyson's parents. The dad shares that he doesn't really want Tyson to reconnect with Mara because he thinks that it's best if he forgets his mom, which is terrible because the kid deserves to remember his mother. regardless of, the situation. And
Right.
he also doesn't feel like Mara, he rem like Tyson remembers Mara. And you can tell that Tyson's only a couple of years old. He's pretty
He's
young.
two.
He's
Yeah,
two,
they
so it's not
confirmed
like
that.
they're like
Yeah.
super close in age. So I can understand maybe, not wanting that, but also Mara deserves to have her brother regardless of if he does remember her or not.
Right.
And we know that Mara's parents died from overdoses. So I'm really happy to see that Hen and Karen are fighting for Mara and trying to advocate for having a relationship with Tyson. In my family, I have a cousin who adopted a girl, and the girl had a twin brother, and unfortunately, they weren't able to adopt both of them at the same time. So my cousin and has the daughter continues to have a relationship with her brother, because both sets of adoptive parents have supported that, which I think is awesome. And even though they can't maybe live together as physical brother and sisters, they can at least still have a relationship together, which is, I think, important.
Right, yeah, that's very important.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole fact of like him wanting Tyson to basically forget the mother or something. Okay, eventually the kid's gonna grow up and like ask questions. Like I don't like there are
He,
'cause like
yeah.
yeah, I know he has like a stepmom or whatever and stuff. Like I know that he might not, but like I feel like it's gonna come up eventually. And also, like you're doing such a disservice to your child if you're just gonna live with this secret, because there are he's even if he'll get curious of where he comes from eventually, and that secret will be uncovered. And also, like he's two, so like yeah, I get him not thinking that he might not remember her, but also like it wasn't that long ago that as far as we know that they died, so I yeah it's just very messy. I
Here's the
don't
thing.
get
Here's the thing. The whole thing with the father wanting Tyson to forget his mother is extremely, it's self-serving.
yeah.
I don't think it comes at all from a place of thinking about Tyson. The guy had an affair,
Yeah.
had a baby from the affair, and presumably he still kept his wife. He still kept his wife. They got the baby out of it. He's trying to erase the murky past of it, though. He's trying to erase the guilt. He's trying to erase the whole situation. He's trying to make it into a perfect nuclear family. It's not really. It's already not a nuclear family, but he's trying to make it into it. It's self-serving. He does not have Tyson's interest in it. I'm not trying to villainize him. Keep this in mind. I have no perspective on him other than this.
Right. We only have the perspective that they're
Right.
giving us. Yeah, but it's.
We meet him once. I'm not going to villainize him. I'm not going to heroize him, any of that. But it is like, I'm not going to stand for any, oh, this like him forgetting his mom is in Tyson's best interest. No, it's not. It's purely self-serving. As far as Tyson remembering Mara, maybe he is only two. But like you also, I think to some degree, you can choose when to reveal information, and you can soft introduce information, but you cannot withhold that information. Yes, you can lie to a kid your entire life, but that kid will resent you because it will come out. So, yeah,
And I know
it's not going to end
Mara's
well for them.
right. Yeah, and I know Mara's like been through a lot, and like I could understand if he knew about that, maybe being like, no, I want to protect my son, but like I don't know, there's just something wrong with just all the things we learned
Yeah.
about that whole situation.
Besides thinking about it, Mara is 9. She
Yeah.
likely doesn't even know her baby brother has another father,
Right, yeah.
unless somehow there was a blow up, and because like the obviously it didn't take too long for them to figure it out. So like, who knows how much was known in the system or in the on the birth certificate or what, like did they have by birth? I don't know. I would be interested to know how
Yeah.
they figured it all out. But I'm
Yeah.
going to assume she likely does not know he's her half brother, which
Right.
does not invalidate her him being her little brother at all. He's still her little brother, but she also would have no concept of why he got taken away. And that would have to be introduced to her at some point. Because even as she grows, she's going to have questions.
So then we get Maddie listening to the call. She's at home, which is not good for her to be doing.
Yeah,
And
that is not healthy.
yeah, she's like repeating it. And I was
No.
getting vibes of Carlos sitting, going through that
Yes. Oh,
the nanny cam footage.
yes. Which now I want to go rewatch that episode.
Yeah,
And
definitely.
so Chim kind of sneaks up on her, and you know, she kind of he accidentally scares her, which he wasn't planning, but it just because she's got headphones on, and he's like, "Hi, your husband." You know,
Hi,
I was like, "Yay, husband!" Like, we get that
it's me, your husband. That was so cute.
husband.
That was adorable, actually. And like
And
she was
so,
startled, but she recovered quickly.
and so she kind of shares what she's doing, and Chim tells her that maybe she's too close to this one, and she's like, "But I've been the passenger in that car." And Chim's like, "Okay, tell me about her." And Maddie starts explaining, and Chim's like, "No, tell me about the woman in the passenger seat of that car." And Maddie says how she's afraid she's gonna die, and as long as the car is moving, she's safe, but she needs a plan when it stops, and a way to fight back. And then she starts realizing in the call the guy was talking about a yellow nightgown and wanting, he bought it and bought one for her, and she's like, "Yellow nightgown." He's like, I bought that weeks ago." And at first, Maddie had thought she was talking to her, but she was actually talking to the guy, like responding to what he was saying. And he's like, "Well, I saw the nightgown in the window." What window?
Well, yeah.
So,
Again, the window.
yeah. So then Rick and Athena show up at apartment where her mom is, Catherine's mom, and Rick finds the yellow nightgown after Maddie tells him about it. And while Athena's in there talking to the grandmother of the baby, Rick says, "I'll be right back." He's like, he's following a hunch. And Athena kind of just looks at him, "What are you doing?" And then a few minutes later, he calls Athena and says to go into Catherine's room and look out the window. And they can see each other across the street or across the yard or something. He's like, "We've been looking at this all wrong. She doesn't have a boyfriend." And Athena goes, "She has a stalker." Which, I mean, I knew it wasn't a husband, obviously. I didn't know about the boyfriend situation.
I was
And
like, because I didn't like everyone's like, oh, it's gonna be another DV storyline, and I'm like, I'm not really sure about that. Like, I knew there was more to the story, and it wasn't just like your typical, like, that kind of storyline.
again, I'd had a hunch, like I kind of forgot about the I did get sort of spoiled on the stalker thing, but I kind of forgot about it when I was watching the episode. But I had heard the window thing early on. And that also threw me back to a few seasons ago when there was another instance with Jeffrey of spying in windows.
Yeah, I kind of
And
forgot
so
about
I
that.
was like that, which we don't talk about all that, but it was still like I had been having a hunch because I'm like, yeah, I'd been having a little bit of a hunch about how it would play out. There was sort of like vindication. Also, oh, that sucks.
I actually, like, I was thinking about, I'm like, obviously we get more later on about this, but I was thinking, I was like, could she have shown an interest in this guy, like bumped into him outside, like on the sidewalk, and that's why he suddenly started stalking her? So like there might have been like an inner relationship, because like we obviously learned that her husband is gone, has been for like 3 months in Alaska working on an oil rig. So is she lonely and she started maybe seeing him and then turned into something different? I don't know. So we'll get more
No,
later.
yeah, I mean, I
But
didn't
I was
think
wondering
that
about all
they,
that.
yeah, I didn't really get that vibe, like, 'cause,
Me neither.
like, it was clear that, like, they had never met before. Like, he obviously was, like, a peeping Tom just staring through her window, and they kind of really clued that in very early on.
So our next scene is Eddie and I'm gonna say the actress's name, Devin, having sex in his bed. Or no, yes, it is. And then it takes me like a few seconds to realize this is like a flashback of Eddie and
Oh, my
Shannon
heart stopped.
together. I was like,
You
oh,
know what
this is
I did?
Shannon.
I was in the
I
scene, immediately started. I was like, oh, and
was
then
like,
immediately.
they already got there? Okay. And then I realized, oh, no, wait a second, this is Shannon.
I almost jumped through the screen to punch him, and then I was like, wait, no, her hair is different.
Yeah.
This is
Okay.
Shannon.
Yes, I thought the same. Okay, I thought like three different things though, because at first, when it first came on, I was like, "Oh my God!" And, like, 'cause I don't know if I thought it was Marisol at first, or what I thought, or if I thought he was just completely jumping into bed with Kim. But then I was like, it was Shannon, and I was like somewhat relieved. I was like, "Oh, okay,"
Okay.
but I was
Well,
like,
here's the
"Oh,
thing.
what the hell?"
I had a couple different thoughts. My first thought was my very first thought was that it was Kim. And I was like, no, that's not Kim. That's not her hair. And then I was like, is he having sex with Marisol and he's envisioning Shannon? And then I was
Yeah.
like, no, wait, that's I don't think that's it. Then I was like, is this a dream? And then I was like, oh wait, no, this is a scene that we never got. 'Cause then
Yeah.
we get into talking. And then I was like,
Right.
oh, this is just a scene we never got, which I
Yes.
loved.
So we got pieces of it because we know that when Shannon came back, Eddie and her were sleeping together and hiding from Chris. But this is when Eddie was telling her that he's been talking to Chris about Santa and how Santa can make miracles happen, like bringing his mom home for Christmas. So it was like when Eddie was kind of
I almost
opening
started
the door to
crying.
bring Shannon back for a Christmas surprise for Chris. Yeah.
Guys,
So
I
I
almost
was like,
started crying.
yeah. I was like, oh. And then all of a sudden we get this like, oh, cut to like real time where Eddie's sitting eating with Marisol. And so he's
I was
having
so
this like
uncomfortable.
memory while they're talking, and it's just, it was a little weird. She's like, where'd you go right now? And he's like,
It
I'm
was
here, I'm
very
right
weird.
here. It's
Okay,
like,
it's very weird because you're sitting with your current girlfriend, but you're thinking about having sex with your dead wife in the
yeah, that was
past.
weird.
It's very weird. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's weird. It's weird. I don't know what to say about it. And like, I don't know
Like,
why he's keeping Marisol around, because literally at this point she's basically just like a living babysitter. I know she's
well,
not
not even
technically living with
living.
him, but like
Yeah.
that's the vibe.
And like I don't think it's just coming from the fact I don't like her. There's not chemistry there. Like, it's so
There's
awkward. Every
not.
scene is so awkward when she's involved. And I'm like, but I even without like just disliking her actress and everything, they're not well matched. And we know he'll keep kicking a dead horse of a relationship because he thinks that's what he's supposed to do. When I thought he got over it with Anna, but like, no, he's still doing it. And it's like, I don't know. I do think the introduction of it made sense as a thing. Like the like clearly they just slept together introduction, because we've already established that they couldn't try having a conversation without falling into bed.
True.
Which is why she showed up at the firehouse that one time. Something I still was never a fan of, but like, we already know this. So I'm not even like, it makes sense why the scene was filmed that way.
Right.
However, it was a little bit of a jump scare. I think that's what it was
Yeah,
supposed to be. We
right.
were supposed to have a heart stop there.
Yeah. So then we get back to Rick and Athena are back at the call center talking to Maddie, and they're sharing that apparently the guy lives in the vacant apartment across the street or next door, or he's remodeling it, and it has a great view of Catherine's bedroom. There, he is remodeling it, and the company that was doing it, like, they didn't do a big background check on him. And according
Skimpy
to
landlords.
records, he technically still lives in Wisconsin. So Maddie's like, you know, if anybody knows something, and Rick's like, he has a sister who's in Wisconsin, Mike. And they're like, and I love Maddie. She's like, well, are you going to call them? And they're Elena's like, yeah, but we're used to interviewing people in face to face. And then it's obviously Maddie's like, oh, well, I'm good at talking on the phone. So they do get a hold of the sister, and she shares that Kyle had apparently moved to LA for a fresh start after he lost Lindy and the baby. They actually didn't die. They are running from him. And yeah, they cleared out her bank, like they cleared out their bank accounts, and she just disappeared. So the sister was glad that Kyle moved to LA because she thought he would never stop looking for them. And then if they're starting to piece together that maybe he's trying to refill or replace them. And
Like, this guy is clearly a psycho. Like,
he
he's
is.
clearly got shit wrong with
Um,
him.
And then
So,
Maddie
yeah.
tries to call him and he doesn't pick up, or the sister tries to call him and he doesn't pick
Yeah,
up.
it was a sister.
Yeah. So then we see Kyle with the baby, which thank God the baby's okay.
Yeah, she's so cute. Her name's
He
Chloe.
was,
I think she's adorable.
yeah. And so he was scoping out this other park looking for another woman to abduct. So Maddie's talking to Athena and she mentions the sister got sent to voicemail, but they were able to find where the cell tower pinged him nearby, but they can't put out a bolo on the car or the baby because that'll spook him and they're afraid he'll take off or dump the phone. And so they end up heading to the park and they look there. When Rick shows up, he's not found, but then they realize there's this little girl in the park that can't find her mom. And I it was kind of weird how they did it, but they had the guy in the car already with the baby and he's driving opposite of the way that police cars are going with the sirens on, and you can see him kind of reaching for a gun, but he realizes he's free because they pass him, because they wouldn't be looking for the car that he's in because they have no reason to at this moment.
He's probably stolen it or had a quick way to buy it or something like that.
And so while he's reaching or trying to get distracted, he's distracted or something, I would think, with the kid in the back, he gets T-boned by a police car on the way to the call.
As it would happen, a police car, which is rather ironic.
Yes, right. So the 118 show up and Kyle crawl ends up like they're trying to get to him, but he ends up deciding he's just gonna crawl out of the car on the other side, and grabs the baby in the car seat and him, and he starts to take off, which is when Buck and Chim are trying to go around, and he which is not good because he wouldn't let them check him or the baby out.
Right, that was like a
And
huge
he's
red
acting
flag.
sus.
Yeah, he's acting
Yeah.
very
And then he
suspicious.
leans
And
the
the
kid who's
interest.
crying. He says, "Sweet pea," and even Chimney recognized what he
Oh,
said
yeah,
to
I
the
forgot
kid.
about that. Because
And
he'd been
Chim's like,
listening to the
"Yeah,
recording with
with
Maddie,
Maddie."
and he'd heard the
So,
guy say the exact same
yeah.
thing. It's very ironic because the police car that T-boned him, they weren't looking for him. It was originally just a car accident.
Right place, right time. And so it's like he was spooked. He was trying to play it off, and then he realized he couldn't play it off. And oh boy.
Yeah, and so then Chim's like, "Wait, what did you just call her?" And then like
The
Chim's
guy
like,
knows he's caught.
"Yeah." So then he freaks out, throws the baby car and the car seat, and then Chim dives to get the baby, and then Buck takes off after the guy and tackles him like a linebacker. Oh, we
Body
loved
tackles.
it.
That guy folded.
I was like,
I'm sorry, but
"Dang, that
imagine
was
having
good."
Evan Buckley full force body tackle you to the ground. That guy never got up again.
So Buck helps Athena cuff the guy, and she's talking about they think he took another woman because the missing girl in the or the girl in the park has missing her mom. And Buck says, "Well, it was just the guy and the baby." And Athena's like, "Did you check the trunk?" And then we see Bobby prying the trunk open, and the woman is in there. Thank God she's okay.
Yeah, she was fine.
And then we see Catherine in the hospital. She's awake and she's blaming herself for what happened. And then Amir goes outside to talk to Rick, who's outside. He's asking, he's like, "Do we please can we get some good news for this woman? She's going through a lot." Rick's like, "How about that for good news?" And we see Bobby walking down the hall with the baby in his arms, which
Bobby holding
a big firefighter carrying a little baby in his arms was freaking
Listen,
adorable.
I'm a simple woman. I'm a simple woman, and I like that kind of shit.
Oh,
Yeah, that was
yes, that
great.
was so
That was
good.
so cute.
And so as Bobby's walking down, he stops next to Amir and Rick, and he's like, "Do you think we can go in and drop them off and we'll be careful?" And Amir's like, you can see Amir is shocked. He recognizes Bobby.
I don't think he
Yeah.
did at first, but then he started to.
When he
Yeah.
came
And
closer, you could tell that he recognized him, but obviously Bobby doesn't recognize
Right.
him.
And so Bobby gently, takes the baby in and lays the baby down. And so they're all happy to see the baby. And Amir sees his name on the back of the jacket. He says, "Nash." And Rick's like, "You know Bobby?" And Amir's like, "No, but I'd like to." Yeah.
That is so cool. That was
little
like,
ominous there.
yes, it was. It sure was.
So then we get Karen and Hen at home, and there's a knock at the door, and they open it up and see that Tyson and his mom are there. And her husband had shared that he doesn't think Tyson remembers Mara, but she thinks he does. And then Mara walks in the room and sees Tyson, and Tyson runs to her and hugs her. And she keeps going like, "Buddy, buddy," or Tyson goes to her, and it's like,
Yeah.
okay, yep, he definitely does remember her. And so
Yeah.
Mara definitely needed needed that. She's gone through a lot, and so I'm really glad that they did that.
And honestly, good on the stepmom, because she's literally there with, like, the father doesn't even know, because he's like,
Yeah.
yeah, we came because he doesn't think you remember, but like I
He
think he does.
did.
And I'm like,
Yeah. Good on.
good on you.
Right.
Like, I think there are a lot of people that would not be nearly as gracious in this kind of situation.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, and I think obviously the father is thinking of protecting his son, but the woman is taking that motherly role for him and is realizing that if he has siblings out there, he should have a chance to know them. And so I feel like I'm hoping this will soften the blow and at least give some connection to them. Okay. And then we get my favorite scene of the episode, is Eddie showing up with Chris at Buck's. Buck is making or attempting to make lasagna. It's not going well. They walk in. This is like several scenes, like clips of this scene, parallel 303 when Chris and Eddie show up again. And Buck is, Eddie notices smoke in the house. He's like, "Is that smoke?" And Buck's like, "Yeah, I'm trying a new lasagna recipe." And then he's, how do you burn lasagna?
I
He's
didn't.
trying
I that's
to.
what I've seen several videos online where people are like, "Buck, how the hell do you burn a lasagna? Because it's literally impossible." I
Yeah,
honestly don't
well,
understand how that happens.
it's
Scorch the
so funny though
top.
because he tries taking a taste of it as he's opening the door, and his face does such a complex range of emotions. He's like, oh, that's bad. So I'm just like, Buck, like, we
Yeah.
know he's a pretty good cook, but it's like, how did a lasagna best you, sweetie?
Yeah, I
Did
was thinking,
you and Eddie body swap here? Like, because we know Eddie's only just become a better cook. Didn't
right.
trans.
And well, and it's so funny that it's just the lasagna seems to be a parallel with them too, because I was, isn't, was it last season or something when they're over at the, Buck's and he's making lasagna, Bobby's three cheese lasagna or whatever. And then Chris is like, "Well, Dad already ordered a pizza. It's gonna be here in like 15 minutes." And Buck's, you can see Buck's face like, "Oh, so you didn't trust me."
Yeah, sounds about right.
And Buck is assuming that Eddie is going on a date with Marisol, and
Naturally.
Chris is sitting down at the table, and Buck's like, "Well," he's like, "nice cologne. We won't wait up." And
Oh, man.
then as Eddie's walking out, he says, "Don't stay up to all night playing video games." And Buck's like, "I will." And Eddie's like, "I was talking to Chris about Buck." And I love how Buck like throws popcorn at him. They're so like, ah, why are they not together?
They're just them. They're just them, man. I love them.
I love those two.
Yeah, I love it. And not even for like romantic ways, because honestly, that's
Yeah,
not my how
that
my
too.
brain's working right now. But like,
Same,
I
yeah.
just love the
Like,
scene.
I love it. It's my favorite. And I just love the domestic part of it. Like,
There's just something so soft.
yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you see these big guys working as firefighters and strong, like, intense jobs. And then they come home, they have soft, fluffy lives outside of that. And just having them be happy. And, obviously he plays off and says, yeah, he's going to meet Marisol, but is he? So the next scene we get is Chim and Maddie at the end of the night. Chim is checking in on her about the call and the resolution that happened, and she's like, "I'm gonna sleep good tonight." And then G runs out, and so she's had a nightmare. So they kind of snuggle with her and kind of calm her down. I love how they're like, "Okay, what kind of dreams are we gonna have?" And like, G wants to have ice cream dreams, like rainbow
Too,
ice cream
G.
dreams. That's
Me
like so
too.
cute.
Those were horrible.
And so yeah, so they kind of snuggled and had that little family moment, and I'm really glad they did that.
I'm sorry, but Chim looking at Maddie like he's falling in love all over again. I'm just like,
Yeah.
I
Like,
want
yes,
that.
for sure. I'm glad we got the resolution, or at least for now a resolution, because I'm sure it will come up. And I'm proud of Maddie for, yes, it affected her, but not to the extent that it would have a couple of seasons ago had it happened again.
Yeah, exactly. And
She's
she
just grown a
handled
lot.
such a better place. She's in
Yeah.
such a better place now.
Yeah, she handled it like as well as she could, even like boundaries wise. Like, yeah, there's a few things that she needs to work on just for herself, but like she didn't go too far like she did in the previous scene, which I feel like has to do with the fact that like time heals wounds, and Obviously things were fresher when she had like the last, situation, but now like things like obviously like it still is like triggering, but like things have
And
gotten
I
at
don't think
least a
it'll
little bit
ever,
better.
it's not ever going to not be triggering,
Right,
I
yeah,
think,
but it
because
gets
it was such a
easier.
horrible exactly. And she's learned that, like, that previous experience taught her, this will teach her. Like, she's gonna slowly always be healing from this, but at least she, I think it's gonna help know that in this case, she did help make a difference for somebody.
Our last scene is Eddie sitting at a restaurant, and he's waiting for someone, and you see someone walk up, and he gets up to pull the chair out and help her into the chair, and we realize that it's the woman from the shop. And so
Oh boy. Here
Eddie
we
has
go.
made the bad decision to go out on a date with someone who's not his girlfriend, who resembles his ex-wife who's passed away.
His wife at that.
Yeah, his dead wife.
Yeah. So definitely not a great Eddie call for that.
No, he done fucked up.
And like I've seen this put out there like so many times where somebody was like, why is it like canon that like cheating canon? Because like Hen, Bug, Eddie, what the hell?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of cheating storylines in any case. That's one reason I don't like watching season one. That's one reason the introduction of Lucy was super rough in season five because of how they chose to go about things there. And Buck's subsequent decisions. I have many feelings about this.
I just think that whole storyline is weird.
What's the end game here? Like, there's not an end game. You can't. Even if he did, and I feel like I think people are, there's wiggle room. And I say that by they haven't, I'm not saying this is what's going to happen. I don't even have any predictions on what's going to happen because I'm still really blindsided by it. But like, he could have broken up with Marisol off screen. Do I think that's what happened? No. It could be that he did. No one knows about it. I don't think that's what happened, but they could. If they wanted to last minute rescue the situation a little bit, that's what could have happened. This could all be some mass hallucination. I don't freaking know. But I'm not. He's making a lot of very unwise decisions right now. There's not like, it's not like even if he and Marisol were broken up, he could just show up and be like, hey, Christopher, here's my girlfriend who looks exactly like your dead mom.
That is weird. Like, I can't imagine how like
Christopher's
trauma to
already
dump on your
struggling.
kid.
Yeah. Christopher's already struggling with the loss of his mom. Trying to replace her in some way isn't going to help.
I don't even know. Like, I know there was like people are like theorizing that like there's gonna be some like fallout between Buck and Eddie in the end of this season because of all this, which I'm not like totally like that's not gonna happen, but I don't know, just weird things are happening, so I don't even honestly know.
Here's the
There's so
thing,
much to say.
online people are making it out to be a lot more like he's cheating on Buck, which is not what's happening
Exactly.
whatsoever.
Yeah, see,
Buck and
that's
he are
so.
not in a relationship. Buck is in a happy relationship with somebody else. Eddie's actions do not impact Buck in any other way than this is his best friend making a dumb decision, multiple of them, which will affect a kid that he has basically co-parented at this point. And also he has roped Buck in by lying, sort of
Yes.
by omission. It's either a straight out lie or lying by omission. We're unsure exactly. Obviously, he thinks he's going on a date with Marisol. He could have just gone, I'm going on a date. Who knows? Like, we don't know exactly. But lying is still lying, whether it's by omission or not.
Yeah. Oh, I have
Yeah.
so much to say. I don't even know
Go
if I'm gonna
ahead.
be able to get it out to say. Okay, so I have guy friends. I've gone out. Not per se on a date with them, but I've gone out to dinner with them, even when they had girlfriends at home. So I'm not against the date. What I'm against is what they're guiding this towards as, yes, a cheating storyline, which it's done already several times in the series. I don't like Marisol. Grace, you said it earlier about there's no chemistry. I agree. So
Yeah, I agree
she
too.
just needs to get kicked to the curb. But no woman deserves to be cheated on.
No. I don't
And
care if I hated her gut so much I would set them on fire. I would still never support her being cheated on.
Right.
Right.
So my prayer is that he will wise up. What I've seen in the last few seasons, especially since Shannon died, Eddie has basically tried to replace Shannon with another person like her. Soft spoken, sweet person, a Latina woman. So she's going to be, you know, supported by his parents and, you know, a motherly figure to Chris. Chris is doing just fine without a mother figure in his life. And if Eddie's really that concerned about having a motherly figure in his life, he's got Hen, he's got Karen, he's got Athena, he's got Maddie. Yeah. He's got plenty of women in his life. That
he's even got his own sisters.
Or his own sisters, yeah. Because we don't know where they live. So I didn't throw them in there. But you're right.
But
yeah.
One, at least one is in LA because he dropped Chris off his cousins. And it's been mentioned before in season two. Like, I wish they would... side note, I wish they would bring her in. But he's got Diaz. So, yeah.
And I have a friend who was a single mom of two boys. And she sought out male relationships, friends that in adult men who could be like mentors in her kids' lives. And the kids do not feel like they missed out on having a dad because... So I'm hoping Eddie will wise up and realize he's got to stop chasing women that he thinks is going to replace Shannon. And now he's come across someone who looks like Shannon.
Even in some degree, like her personality, like so far her interactions, granted, it's played by the same actress. They're not going to be very different interactions.
Right.
But you could kind of sub in Shannon and you could get some of the same personality. And I think that's putting him through a mind warp.
Right.
It would with anybody. Everybody's got a doppelganger.
Oh, of course.
That's my view. Everyone has a lookalike. But it's like, oh, yeah. I think they have room to turn it around. But they have very little. They would have to navigate it. So we've got to remember, though, he has not actively fallen into bed with her. They could turn this around to not be a romantic date. Or he could walk out. It would still be emotional cheating. It would still be like cheating of some form. I don't know if that would be regarded as physical cheating. But my hope is that he wises up, stops the ship, breaks up with Marisol for everyone's sake. Because also she deserves to not be in this kind of relationship. And for Chris's sake and his own. And he goes to fucking therapy.
Frank needs. Yeah,
that's like, Frank!
Frank.
Frank!
Anybody at this point.
So I feel like we're just to a point where like he hasn't, I know cheating is cheating. I get that. But some things are easier to come back from, like emotional cheating than physical cheating. So I'm hoping, like you said, he wises up and reins it back in, neither breaks up with Marisol or tells her that he did go out on a date with someone else. Because the whole reason why she moved back out was because they were rushing into things. So if he's not 100% serious with Marisol and he's just looking at her as a friend and he's just keeping her around, that's just stringing her along. And she doesn't deserve that either. That's not fair to her. It's not fair to him or Chris. So I hope he wises up. And there's a lot of rumors, theories going around that him and Buck are going to blow up at each other, and Eddie's by the end of the season, Eddie's not going to really have anybody to turn to, or he's going to be isolated from people. And
I've heard mostly points to being self isolated. I've heard stuff about him being isolated. I think it's self.
Which that all came about because Ryan said that in the interview that basically that Eddie's going to be isolated, come season 8. So like, it's not like fans are just pulling this out of their ass. Like, it actually is, like, somewhat true. To what extent, we have no idea.
Say that just if we look at, like, Buck as a character, it's not, I don't see him, like, fully intentionally abandoning Eddie or whatever. I'm going to think that either Buck doesn't know and Eddie withdraws, or Buck does know and Eddie still withdraws. Because I'm pretty sure I heard more that this was to be self-isolation. I don't picture a screaming match or an actual fight or whatever. I think Buck could probably give him a large piece of his mind. I think it'll be warranted. But again, this storyline's not about Buck.
And that's what I'm imagining is going to happen, is that Buck is going to call him out, like either Mary Saul catches like Eddie and Karen, Kim together in some way, whether it's they do end up falling in bed together or and she catches them, which I heard was a rumor, or something else. Yeah, you're right. Buck totally is kind of aiding and abetting that, because as far as Buck knew, he was going out on a date with Marisol and not anyone else. Because obviously Eddie had kept that a secret, because I think Buck would have said that's the stupidest idea in the world if he'd have said something to his best friend. So
No.
yeah, so Buck's not going to be happy with him, but I don't think he's going to turn his back on him. And
It's
I
Buck.
know.
He's loyal, literally loyal like a golden retriever. I think he would try to help Eddie,
And I know there's this
even
rumor
through Tasha.
that somehow Buck's apartment burns down and Eddie ends up moving in with him. I
Oh
don't
my
know where that
gosh.
came from. I do
Okay,
know
his
somebody
apartment
made
does
comp.
burn down though, because that is actually out there
Yes.
legitimately.
Yeah.
Have they confirmed that? Because people have been wanting Buck's loft to burn
There's
down for
pictures of
seasons.
it. There's pictures of
I
it.
have not seen any of these
Yeah.
pictures, so
I like.
I don't know.
I. Okay, so like I saw some of them like earlier, and also like I heard about this theory like weeks ago. But, like I wasn't sure, and it's been out there, but like I don't
I
know.
don't know. I'm very anti that storyline, partially because I'm very anti Buck's loft burning down, partially just because people have been wanting that to, again, people have been using that as like a theory. Oh, even though Buck and Tommy are together, this is how to get Buck and Eddie together, make them into roommates. And I'm, yeah, anyhow. And also, like, I like Buck's loft. I might be one, from what I've seen in Phantom, I might be one of the only people who does, but I like his loft.
Well, okay. I don't mind his loft. I think it's a cool place. What I will say is they made the place that they currently film at for his loft could possibly not have be available anymore, and they decided to,
That's fair.
do that. What I will, and there's the guys we're talking about, and Ryan and Oliver, we're both joking about Buck and Eddie becoming, closer than ever at the end of the by the end of the season. So maybe this is what it is, that he ends up moving in with them. I think Eddie's place is only a two bedroom though, so I don't know how that would work for long term, but
And Buck's back can't handle that couch.
I mean, it seems
I
like
know.
he's done well in the past on it, but anyways,
Long term.
right, long term, not good. But
All right.
yeah, so I feel like we talked a lot. I think we can wrap that part of it up. I know the show, it was a good episode. I definitely felt like they're building up for some stuff for the next few episodes, obviously for the end of the season. Yeah, I'm excited to talk about the next few episodes. I know, obviously the season has got some stuff to wrap up, and we have already got some build up for some things coming up with Bobby. Guy's gone through so much this season already.
This is going
But
to be a very interesting storyline.
do we have any fan thoughts?
Don't think we really have any for this episode, but you guys can always let us know after the episode
Yeah.
airs.
So then we get the promo for next episode. So Amir is talking in front of everyone at an AA meeting, talking about 10 years ago, an apartment fire. And then we see a glimpse of, he's looking at Bobby. Bobby's there. He's looking at Bobby. We see a glimpse of the fire in Minnesota, Bobby drinking the fire. And Amir is saying, it almost took my life. I'm constantly reminded of what I lost. We see the fire. And then next Thursday, see a picture of him and a woman. I'm assuming it's his wife.
She was wearing a wedding ring, and
Yeah.
also the only reason why I knew it was his wife is because in this episode he said something about that.
So then we see Bobby talking to Athena, saying he wanted Bobby to see what he did has done, and Bobby says how he needs to make amends, which is one of the steps of recovery. So we see Bobby showing up at this place, pretty out there, looks kind of out in the middle of nowhere. Then we hear more of what Amir is saying at the meeting about just when you think you have everything under control, the anger rages up until it consumes you like a fire. And while he's saying that, we see Bobby's face as Amir is staring right at him, and it's pretty intense. And then we see Bobby showing up to this place, kind of looked like a house or an apartment, but it's really secluded. I don't know. It looked like there was a, I don't know. Not sure where it is, but it's definitely out there. Then Amir comes up to him with a knife and puts it to his neck, and then there's blood on it. I'm not exactly sure where this goes, but Obviously, this is the connection. We know there's some connection with Bobby from Minnesota to LA, and this is set, 10 years in the future. So, because the apartment fire happened in 2014, and so obviously it's 2024 now. So, it's been a while. So, this guy
Yeah.
must have, he was a resident of this apartment that went up in flames. Not really sure how he ended up in LA specifically, meeting up with Bobby, how long he's been there. If this was
Yeah,
on
which
purpose
it was
or
definitely on purpose because,
yeah.
well, okay, you don't move your life from Minnesota to LA just coincidentally, just like, oh yeah, we ended up in the same city like that. Like, it was obviously deliberate. Even though he seemed shocked to see Bobby, I still think that it has to be like somewhat deliberate. I just find it hard to be like a complete coincidence.
So, and I believe that's going to kind of curtail into the next episode or two.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Like,
And I know there's pictures. I have quite a few pictures have been floating around of a medal ceremony of some kind at the 118 firehouse. Not sure exactly what that is, but I know through a cameo that Lou did, he had a ribbon on. So I'm assuming Hen, Bobby, or Hen, Chimney, Eddie, Buck, and Tommy might get a medal for what they did for the cruise ship, or something along that line. I'm hoping that's what it is, because that seems to be the smartest and only wisest thing that they
I
could
know.
do.
It was just like Lou basically being a walking spoiler because he's low-key spoiled like a lot of things that
Yeah. I
are
love Lou. I was talking to somebody and I said something about, I was like, yeah, I was like, the original Hulk's son is on 911 right now. And they're like, he's what?
happening.
I was like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool. Yeah. So I'm excited to see it. I know the season is going to be, it's going to wrap up pretty quickly and we only have 10 episodes total. So I'm excited to see it come to an end to see where they end it. But I'm also excited we get season 8 and I'm glad we got it back, even though it's been quite a while. Anybody have any extra thoughts they want to share before we wrap up?
I don't know. This episode was so weird.
Yeah,
It was.
it
I
was.
liked it.
I
I actually
really
liked
liked
it as a
it.
thing.
No,
It
I
was a
really
great
liked
episode.
it.
It was just odd.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I honestly didn't think about it and how odd it was until today because, like, when I watched it, I was like, oh, I really liked that. Like, obviously, there's a few things that I didn't like about the episode. Because I just find that storyline so weird. Honestly, I just don't understand why. And there's been so much like talk about it, like online, being like, oh, well, are they trying to do this? And I'm just like, I don't even know what the heck is happening. Like, I don't
Right.
know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. I also have a few reservations. Like, I know they're going to do good. And that's the thing. Like, we've had a great season so far. They're not flipping it around the last three episodes. And we already have season 8 coming up. So I wouldn't be surprised if we're getting a cliffhanger. Because we've got it confirmed. They could
Yeah,
do it.
it's true.
I don't know. I've got.
A cliffhanger would be tough, though.
Yeah,
I don't like cliffhangers.
I can't even honestly remember a time when they did like a like huge cliffhanger.
They've done
Oops.
minor
Yeah,
ones.
that's what I mean. I've never done like anything too big. It's always
But
been like minor things, but there was
they've
no
always wrapped
like
up at least a little.
reservation.
I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens with Bobby. And I'll be honest, I don't know. I haven't seen the promo. I haven't seen the stills. So I don't know if there's a way to do this. I think I'm going to be annoyed if they turn Amir into a bad guy.
I
Because I
mean,
think in a way that's because I think that's going to invalidate, in a way, his journey as a victim of what Bobby did.
right, which that's
I
already where that's
think that
going.
I know, and I'm not sure I'm really thrilled about it because I think he should be able to get to exist just as a victim that turned his life around, that came back after an awful tragedy. And Bobby won't always get to be the hero in that. Even if he does make amends, he's not ever going to be able to change that. So I think turning Amir into a villain of some kind I feel like it's just not doing justice to the complexities of tragedy.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll see. I'm not completely closed off to the storyline, but I am a little hesitant on where it's going. It's also, I know a lot of former addicts as well, or people currently in recovery.
Oh,
So
yeah,
I
same.
just, then a lot of complicated feelings from knowing so many people that have come from so many backgrounds, including prison, where they went because they did some shit while on addiction. I'm like, I don't know. I'm interested to see how they handle it. I hope they handle it, continue to handle it respectfully.
Yeah, I feel like they will. I think they've done pretty well with most of the storylines that have touched like triggering topics or, you know, needing to be careful. I feel like with the title of this episode, Ghosts of Second Chances, I feel like obviously Amir in a way acted like he saw a ghost, because I think there was a part of him that had kind of resolved that, put that aside and moved on from losing his wife from the apartment fire. And obviously, if you're watching the show and you don't keep up with the news, you're gonna just be like, okay, he seems to maybe recognize Bobby, but like we obviously know what happened 10 years ago with Bobby. And
I think the show does a great job in being able to appeal both to the casual viewer and also the more hardcore fans.
yeah. And so I feel like those of us who know kind of what's coming down the pipeline, what's being hinted at, what's coming, obviously have a little bit broader imagination when it comes to what could happen. But I am curious as to see where it's coming from, because this will be the first time that Bobby is having a victim pretty much approaching him in the series. We've never had that. He has blamed himself for losing his wife and children, and so he's really put that on hard, but that's a personal thing. It's different when it's coming from someone else. So I am curious how they are going to bring that storyline
Yeah,
in.
after he threw away the black book of the 148 names, I feel like maybe he kind of resolved. I feel like maybe he kind of made a little bit of peace with never being able to fix it in his own way, because you can't. Almost 150 people died. Like, there's not really a fixable way to do that. And clearly, as we see with Amir, even if you don't die, you're still affected for the rest of your life.
Right. Well, and not only that, fortunately, Bobby was not the only cause of the fire. Yes, what he did with the drinking and the heater was not, it didn't help it, and that was an initial cause, but
But
the
also the
building was,
sprinkler system was out.
the sprinkler system was
Yeah,
out,
yeah.
and plenty of things that Bobby had no control over. So even though it was initiated because of something that happened with Bobby or Bobby did, he wasn't the only cause of it.
Right. It wasn't only his fault.
Right.
Again, the complexities of tragedy.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah,
So.
I'm excited for what's to come, and I'm curious what you guys think. So please let us know what you guys think of this episode, what you're thinking is going to come up with the next few episodes. And yeah, let us know and we'll maybe share them on the
Yep. All I know is that
podcast.
I'm not ready for the season to end soon. I'm enjoying it too much. It
Season 7 has been good to us.
has, even though it's a short season, we're getting like so much stuff.
Yeah.
And
So good.
it really has been so good.
Thank you guys so much for joining and listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You can also check out our website at 911lsroundup.com. You can follow the podcast on our socials at 911lsroundup on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. Also, check out our Discord server. The link's in the description of the podcast and on our website.
Guys can follow me, Katie, at Full of the Tarlos on TikTok and Instagram and Threads.
You guys can follow me, Grace, at Ronan Rafa 911 on Instagram and at CheapGirl31 on Twitter.
Follow me, EJ, at EJ8302 on Instagram, Twitter, and Threads. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.